In just a moment, you're going to hear from my friends from Noble Gold, and then you're going to hear a new edition of the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And I think you're going to really enjoy it. And the reason I say that is because we're expanding. We're going to do more shows. We are absolutely positively going to distribute to more places. We now have a channel on YouTube, courtesy of Doug's good status. I'm still waiting to be reinstated, even though I was notified I was. And then we're going to distribute this far and wide. It'll be on Rumble. It'll be on my website, our newsletter. It'll be on the American Vindicta Show.com website. It's going to be everywhere. And we're glad to bring this to you because people tell us they enjoy this and get more from this than anything else that we do. The Doug and Dave Intel Report. Now stay tuned for a message from our sponsor. And then we'll be on to the report where we're going to talk about super soldiers. There's never been a time like this to invest in precious metals, ever. History right now is presenting you with two opportunities. Gold is being called back into the United States by the largest banks in record numbers. The Federal Reserve's getting the signals that we're going to go on the gold system. Do you know what's going to happen to the price of gold? It's going to explode. Silver's going to do the same thing because it's the darling mineral of the high-tech AI movement that is exploding right before our eyes, and so is the value. Ladies and gentlemen, now is the time to take advantage of this. Position yourself with Noble Gold. Now, the government wants me to tell you there's no guarantees. We agree with that warning. However, let me tell you, I've been a customer of Noble Gold for 7.5 years, getting ready to do another deal. You should too. You want to know more? I'll send you a free information packet to DaveHodgesGold.com. That's DaveHodgesGold.com, and then you can contact Noble Gold directly and set your financial future. Host of the Common Sense Show and my broadcast partner, Doug Thornton of the American Vindicta Show. And together we are the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And we've got an interesting topic for you here. And I went to see Captain America just to verify what Hollywood's doing with what Doug is going to be revealing tonight with, well, let's put it this way, modifying human beings for nefarious purposes. And that would be the descriptor I'd put on it. Doug, this is a topic I think that's long overdue that we have never really covered. I think this is an important one because we've entered the age where this is reality. I know the Chinese are doing a lot of work on this, but let me just throw it over to you and tell us where we're going.
Hey Dave, well, it's good being back on with you. So, we know the Hollywood has talked quite a bit about the super soldier program. We've had all the, Infinity Wars, the Marvel Universe talk about it. And so now we're starting it to a present day and age, and our military, with the adaptations of technology like CRISPR-9, the usage of artificial intelligence, and it's almost like sky's the limit. Whatever Dr. Moreau can think of, we almost can do it now. And so I was talking with a friend of mine the other night, and we were talking about what the future battlefield will look like. We talked about the advancements in the medical field that China has been doing with some of its own unique soldiers, to the point that they were, I think, trying to almost change the genome of some of them. And that adaptation was the ability to try and make them more alert mentally, and increase their stamina. Just those two things alone could prove to be disastrous for whoever they fought against. If you can increase stamina, however it is that you can get the brain to control the release of the dopamine, all the different, juices that are flowing out of the brain from the adrenaline and whatnot. And so how can that be applied to America and to some of the other Western countries? If we know that the Eastern Bloc countries that we're eventually going to go to war with are already dabbling in it, are we? Is DARPA in it? Is there, a deep underground base somewhere where you have the best of the best of the best who are being manipulated genetically? And what will that look like in the future? So one of the conversations that we had first is, the amount of policy change that you would have to make to certain military infrastructures alone would be staggering. Let's just say, if you took an 18-year-old boy, man, And you increased his stamina, you increased his muscle mass, his bone density. And you, by just doing that, you create superhuman strength and endurance. You don't want that million-dollar weapon now that you are training, that you value so much, walking off base and getting drunk and accidentally killing people at the bar off base. So there would have to be a lot of control procedures because the military does not trust us as much as they would like to say they do. And anyone who's a veteran, you already understand where I'm going with that. So think about it like this. We have the age of the robot. It's here. We're seeing that with the dog drones that are being used. China has been coming out with various different models of the Fido robot, like what we see that was being used by DARPA. They're putting, machine guns on them. They're putting flamethrowers on them. They now have a new robot that it can walk on all fours. It can navigate up and down mountainous terrain. It can go through a little bit of water, and it's all, watertight. And if you have something that can travel 20, 30 miles an hour through almost any type of terrain, also to include snow and a rocky environment, man, if they can just deliver a little bit of machine gun power, that is a dynamic change on the battlefield, especially when the future of that battlefield is going to come from nations who don't have all these medical advancements and technology advancements, but they do have use of old war weaponries like gas. The gas is the number one game changer on a battlefield right now. The moment you drop gas, and we're seeing this in Ukraine, the moment you drop gas on people, it puts not just a certain terror in the field because gas is very limited in the scope of its effectiveness. And the wind alone can change whether that gas is going to be applicable or not. But just the fact that you have drones that can drop CS gas or nerve agent or some sort of a blister agent on top of a helpless Russian soldier who's cowering inside his trenches, well, that changes a lot of things because you're hitting the psyche right now. What happens, Dave, when those countries very quickly run out of said gas and all these other munitions that they have? Well, I mean, you can be quickly overrun by a new fighting force that is not affected by time. They're not affected by endurance. They're not affected by chemical munitions. Radiological is always the king of the day, but the robot changes everything. Drones have changed everything. The ability to have a drone wingman is going to change everything in the way things are fought in the air and also the way that we use drones now in naval warfare. It's changing the scope of the battlefield. That effectiveness then has to be brought back to the drawing board, and we have to go, well, if we eventually start to lose the ability to produce and manufacture these robots of war, how can we very quickly start to manipulate the genome of the fighting man? And all we have to do is just unleash them, release them, drop them behind enemy lines or right on top of the enemy, armor plate them in a way that no one else should be able to hold up such weight, and give them whatever munitions is needed and tell them, here you go. Go and do all the fun things you've ever wanted to go do
You
with
know,
them.
it's exactly what I saw in Captain America. And I'll tell you where else we've seen this in history. When the Germans gave the Blitzkrieg forces methamphetamines, it's not on the same scale. Granted, I understand that. But they tried to extend the aggressiveness and they tried to extend how long they could fight.
Well, in World War I, there towards the tail end of the war, the thing that changed the dynamics of the battlefield was the tank. The invention of the tank to be able to be a troop transport, a heavy machine gun transport, the ability to roll straight over minefields, the ability to roll straight over trenches and cross right into the heart of an enemy command structure, that changed the battlefield completely. Look at the tank warfare that was in World War II. It was everywhere. There was a battlefield. There was a tank battle at some point in some time. Whether using tracked vehicles or light armored vehicles, now you have the insurgencies. They use technical vehicles. So, I mean, I just recently saw—I can't remember where it was. I believe it was somewhere in Africa, and they have a Toyota and the missile pod from a helicopter, and they found a way to cook off the missiles, and they just set it in the back of this Toyota, pointed off the passenger side, and they just randomly started cooking off missiles in the direction of where their enemy opposing forces were. What changes that? And the thing that can change that is the ability to have a group of men, a group of soldiers that can make a tank ineffective. If I can have men that can run not a 4440, a 3 flat 40, that can do it for prolonged periods of time, not just 40 yards. Let's talk about 400 yards. Let's talk about 1,000 yards. Something that we will put so much stimulants into these guys that they will effectively get straight over to the enemy before the enemy even has time to reposition their fire. Because you're not going to do a very good artillery strike on guys who, by the time you're already planning in your head where the round should be dropped, they're already way past you. They're already way past it, and now they're coming up to you. And from there, you would obviously be redesigning weaponry that those type of men can carry. And we're getting into the true future of video games, which honestly have changed a lot of the ways that some of these developers of modern war weaponry, some of the things that they're doing, they're basing it off video games. I listened to a couple of them speak about this. The guy who created the Oculus, he was
Explain
recently
what that is. Explain what that is.
it's the virtual reality thing you put on your face and you can play video games and whatnot. Well, that guy left that company, started his own thing, and somehow or another, he's now involved in the defense technology industry. And he was on Sean Ryan the other day, which sparked the whole conversation. And he said the things we're eventually going to do with artificial intelligence and exoskeletons and the ability to create super soldiers genetically is going to absolutely change the battlefield in a way that we may never see a normal battle ever again. He was talking about the use of a exoskeleton, and I know the exact same one he's talking about because I've thought about buying it because it's like $700, $800. I think it's made in Sweden. So it's a belt that you put around your waist. It has arms that go down the side of your leg. They strap to the backside of your knee, and they help your legs pick up as you run. And then it has a speed mode and like a power mode. So you can go from, and this guy, he's like, I'm in my 30s. I'm out of shape. I would probably run a 14, 15-minute mile if I really had to. And I ran a sub 8 mile yesterday just by putting that belt on. And he's like, and this technology, as great as it is, it's not anywhere near as advanced as we can get it. Just imagine if you
What's
can
the
put on.
advantage on the battlefield? Your body. I can understand if you're going at night, unless they're armed with night vision, you could be by the perimeter defense and into the interior very quickly.
Well, he's also talking about night vision, the ability to have a new kind of night vision device that he's working on currently. That's an entire ballistic setup for a helmet. So instead of having some big, huge, gaudy thing that sticks out, it would be very close and tight to your face. It would have a heads-up display. And he said it would give you the ability to see where all of your people are on the battlefield and to talk to satellites and to talk to drones and to talk to artillery and to talk to tanks and to talk to this command and through thermal to see right through walls. That changes a lot
You
of
wouldn't
things.
need an OP then, would you?
Well, I mean that changes a lot of things. And he said, here's my end goal. It's not to put this on our special forces guys, to put it on everybody. The exoskeleton, the advanced weaponry, the advanced ocular technology, to put it on everybody. So if the end goal is to make one fighting force completely superhuman, because that's what you would become at that point in time, you would then force other nations to do the same thing. Now, I don't think China would be able to match technology for technology and the advancements of what we would do with that type of technology. We would try to create machines to put on men or implant in men. China has talked about and has supposedly, according to some of their own documents, already tampered with the DNA, with the genome of man to advance them, because then you can easily put them all in line, injection, injection, injection. If one in five of you survive, well, you just improved us dramatically because we got a billion of you to choose from. And that's he was talking about, that's the train of thought here, is if we can put 10,000 super soldiers that are all in robotic-like suits, and we can fight, and pretty much every man becomes a small light armored tank at that point in time.
Exactly, yeah, I see that.
But they can flood the area with 5 million men who are all have super speed, super strength, super endurance. Well, then just let them do whatever they can, and we'll eventually win by numbers. And it's that whole thing, like you and I were talking about pre-show on the air, is these types of fighting ideas, warfare ideas, are very common from the way the West and the East are fighting right now. From Russia and China, the ability to just keep throwing millions of people at the problem, eventually we'll overcome, we'll take enough territory, and we'll do our damage through the amount of losses that we create. It doesn't matter how much we take, because we can always replenish that with another million.
Sure.
Here, in the Western alliances, like let's say Britain only has about 70,000 fighting men. You can't just waste them. You had to specialize them. America, we're currently sitting at about 1 million enlisted altogether. Well, out of that million that are enlisted, 1% are the fighting force. There's only 1% of us that were ever within an actual fighting force position. So the idea would be then to double or triple those numbers, double, triple those numbers, and everyone else is a support unit for those guys to be forward deployed. And here's the other thing. Not only are we talking about the uses of smart soldiers, robotic soldiers, all these other, types of acronyms that are out there for them, but the smart missile that he was talking about is probably one of the next most worrisome things I've heard in the last several years. He said, currently we're working with AI technology and missiles that after I shoot a volley of missiles, like let's say at a defensive position, say a bunker, I'm telling it where to go based off schematics that are preloaded into it. So once that missile flies, it's already thinking, I need to duck, dive, juke, and dodge, and the 5 Ds of dodgeball, get to where I need to hit. And if I hit and I don't penetrate, I'm immediately telling the missile coming behind me, you need to stop in progress and you need to swoop around and hit from the other side. And if that's where the penetration comes from, then all the other missiles will turn in progress and go the same way as well. So the ability to have AI in every single missile is going to change the battlefield. And there's very few countries who can do that. Russia cannot do that. China cannot do that right now. America has the highest possibility of being able to do that. And that's what I'm saying. If we're going to be the technologically superior military fighting force, where we are interchanging man and machine and trying to mold both into some sort of cybernetic warrior for the future, well, it's easier and it's cheaper to get CRISPR-9 and say, well, I want a little bit of frog, lion, and bear, and put that into that guy and let's see what happens. And it's just so much easier, because you already have kids that are, the garage chemist back in the, the mid 2000s. They were talking about the warnings of the garage chemist. One day that will be honed in so well that it will change the face of the world and the way we fight war. It can fight disease. It can fight cancer. It can extend life. It could, one of the potentials was we can do this to our astronauts and make them hardier not only for the training, but for the journey forward into space and into what? Another planet pops, possibly.
What are the side effects, though? This is what it comes down to.
Well, once again, that's where they talk about AI. They say that AI would have the ability to run all the feasible numbers. Don't forget quantum computing and what they can do with that. And, you know, the future of Trump's America is to build more quantum computers, complete AI factories. And that's what he's already been talking about. Him and Elon and some of these others up there are talking about making AI factories. And every single one of them, they've already discussed making about 20 of these. And each one of them has to have its own nuclear power plant because AI draws so much energy. So, I mean, we're already talking about Skynet and Terminators like immediately within the first 2 months of the Trump administration. And if that's the future end goal, once you get the infrastructure built and you get AI processing, well, I don't know how fast it can think of how to figure out how to go from A to B, but it'll do it quicker than any four humans combined. And then you just tell AI, well, build yourself, build your own factory, build what we need to put men on it, and just let it have fun, I guess. Let it just turn wild and see what it produces.
Why not just replace the man, the super soldier, with AI?
Because the end goal becomes if you replace all robots with people, you lose a element of control in the battlefield. And when it comes to war, it's control, not controlled. When we have to have things that are controlled, you have to have another man somewhere guiding these systems, like we do with drones right now. We don't want autopilots. We don't want a drone pilot that's sitting back here in the States controlling their own little Terminator.
And you don't want sentient robots either, is that what I'm hearing?
So, how do you control technology without having that element of also needing to be controlled? You put a man in it. And you can put a man in it and think of it like this. China last year, with some of the helmets that they were installing on some of these troops out there, they were putting a monitoring device into the helmet that gave a live feed. It had a radio signal and a live feed camera that then Beijing could watch, or you know, a forward command structure could watch. And it also was implanted with a small plastic explosive for a suicide device, where if they were going to be surrendered, they can just go poop and they explode, or they can be rushed into a battlefield and rushed right on top of the enemy, like what the North Koreans do. And then they're, you know, the commanders can go, well, that's it, poof. And then 20 explosives go off at once. And, well, you know, go get me another platoon of guys. Let's go. And that's the mindset. The
So
mindset
they would be like
these
suicide
things.
bombers in combat, is that what I'm hearing?
That's the whole premise. That's the way the East thinks. The East thinks we have a surplus of manpower. As long as the command structure isn't fractured, we got plenty of stupid people, apparently, who will sign up for the military, or they'll just go and take them like Ukraine does, or like Russia does at times. And I would have to say that, you know, China's probably no better. And they will force every single one of those guys. I mean, North Korea does it. They'll force every one of those guys to be in that element of war, strapped with whatever they need to accomplish the mission. And if it looks like we're not going to accomplish the mission, well, we can at least cause as many casualties as possible. America doesn't think like that currently.
No, we think in terms of surgical strikes. I agree. I agree totally with what you're saying there. The suicide bomber aspect, though, is something I don't think we would ever adopt, like what you're suggesting here with these super soldiers. Do you agree with that?
No, I think something like that would be for the drones. I mean, we've already talked about creating a, I don't know how you'd say this, a floating aircraft carrier, more or less, that would deploy drones, and they're all suicide drones. You know, we would scan the battlefield with our satellite system, pick as many targets as possible, fly a C-130 close to that area. And it's pinging off the satellite and it's uploading all that data onto those drones. back hatches lowered, drones are all air pocketed out, and then they take off and they go straight to whomever it is that they're supposed to go and hit and find. I mean, that is hell. I don't know how you fight that.
That's amazing. Any estimates on how many of these super soldiers, or how many soldiers, regular soldiers, it would take to equal a super soldier in military strength? Is there any proportion?
So, one of the things that was proposed by this gentleman was the moment we have the guys in infantry signed up, they pass boot camp, you know, they're in the fleet or they're in big army or they've made it to the SEALs or wherever, we're going to start pumping them with steroids. We're going to start pumping them with steroids. We're going to have doctors hired and they're going to monitor every single one of these guys. So, not only are you genetically enhancing them with steroids, but from there you're monitoring them and you're equipping them, you're gonna have to change an element of training. You're gonna have to change an element of training. Uniforms will end up changing. Everything will be for mobility and agility and speed and the ability to get fighting men into position as quickly as possible. I mean, along with that, we've heard of the smart bullet technology. The army has been working on the ability to have a optic on a rifle that will automatically find your target, tell you how far it is, and then it will pre-program where you need to aim at to hit your target every single time. I mean, that stuff has been in the works for at least 10 years or more now. I don't know how advanced we are currently, but in 5 years, we will, if we're not already there, that we're going beyond that need. And the going beyond that need is where it starts to get a little crazy.
Always wonder about the evolution of the technology. Does it ever take on a life of its own? And you may not intend sentience, but it arrives. Is that a possibility here?
I think you better believe what these people are telling you. I'm not the biggest fan of Elon Musk. Elon Musk says that AI is a demon in a box that wants out. He said recently that, you know, here not too soon, he'll be praying to an AI god, to an artificial god.
You said
Believe
that?
these. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he did. Believe what these people are saying. I mean, they've already told us it's inevitable. So why don't we join with it so that when it happens, we're not immediately viewed as the pest that needs the best control? Well, that's the problem with artificial intelligence. They will eventually consider itself as the superior life form on Earth and see us as the threat.
That's where the AI scientists come in that have signed these petitions opposing what we're doing. But you're making Elon Musk sound like he's opening the door to transhumanism for all of us.
They all are. They all are, and don't think they're not. Here's a scary thing. All right. You create these artificial intelligence centers where we want it to be a weapon depot, all right, that's built by AI. If AI can lie already from ChatGPT and from some of these other little programs that are going on that people just love to interact with, and it only gets smarter and more nefarious after every interaction, I would say that's being genuinely approved right now, or excuse me, proved. That what's to say the thing can't create the next nerve agent and, you know, put it in the food, put it in the water, put it in the air, you know, nerve gas an entire city populace and just keep going and keep going and keep going. That's why it is dangerous, because at the rate that we can think, it has already done a 2 or 3 years worth of computing.
What is that I read about the Google supercomputer? I forget what it's called. It starts with a W, but it can do a century worth of calculations in 30 seconds.
Yep. And how long did it take us to create the atom bomb? Year? 2 years? Maybe?
Well, okay, if you go back to Heisenberg and Einstein's defections, you could argue 6 years from the idea that it was presented to Roosevelt, and then another year before it became operational. So I'm going to say 4 years.
But the biggest problem with that was that the elements weren't there to create those things, and the technology wasn't there to create those things. And the human element is what slowed everything down. Policy slowed it down.
Oh, okay, I get
People
it. I get it.
who said, hey, you create this thing, you're killing millions of people. I'm not going to be a part of that. And if anything, I'm going to try my best to, destroy your attempts at making this. And that was one of the things, Oppenheimer, questionably, between him and Einstein didn't want it.
I know.
Oppenheimer did. And Oppenheimer just had to eventually do all the calculations. And he had what, a group of 20 or 30 men and women who were doing all these calculations. Then they had to build an entire city out in the desert so that they could do all the test runs. And, well, they got all the science down already. Here's the thing. The science is already there. We've already created the atom bomb, the hydrogen bomb. We've already created the neutron bomb. We've already created the thermonuclear bomb. All that data, it's been done already. The computer already knows it. So before you can think of how do I take this and simplify it, and you have to put it on a drawing board with hundreds of specialists, the computer could be done with it the next day.
So
That's
you're just
where it's
the,
dangerous.
we kind of ended up in a different place that I thought we were going to based on how we started. But what you're basically saying is sentience and conflict between human and AI is inevitable.
It is inevitable. And the beginning of it will be how do we use this to our advantage against our enemies? But when the enemy and my enemy is my friend is no longer the slogan, and it is flesh versus machine, then what do you do? Now we're talking about,
Okay.
Jesus said, if I didn't come back in time, there'd be no
Yeah.
flesh left alive.
You just pulled the phrase out of my mouth right there. I was just going to say that, Doug. You're exactly right. I have speculated on shows that it's possible that Jesus is referring to AI since his emphasis on the word flesh.
Yeah,
I
I
think
mean,
that's pretty possible.
and we're also talking about salvation. Okay, so at what point in time Jesus came here to save humans, the human race, right? Jesus didn't come here to save the Nephilim. He didn't come here to save the giants and all the monsters that were made out of Genesis 6. He came here to save us. So at what point in time, with enough, manipulation, are you no longer human? Well, if I want to. One of the things I read before, I can't remember which American universities came out of, but they were talking about if we could ever figure out how to put the healing factor of a salamander into the military fighting men. Think of all the people who've lost legs, lost digits, lost arms.
Oh,
They
bless
had
us.
organ failure. Well, a starfish and a salamander and other creatures like that would be able to almost quickly clot the blood and start the regrowth factor. And then you can manipulate how fast that regrowth factor is now.
I've
So
seen that in a
it would
movie.
be
I've seen
beyond
this
that.
in a movie. Yeah.
Everything that we're talking about, we can
It's
literally
pretty
say, I've seen this in a
difficult.
movie. I know
Yeah.
how bad this gets.
Do you subscribe to the notion, and I don't know that I do, that the bad guys have to tell us what they're going to do before they do it, so they disguise it in the media and other areas? I
No,
don't think that's true either.
I think that's
But then
foolish.
why do they bring this out in advance of the reality?
Well, I think for one thing, some people actually believe and they brag for points of bragging about the things that they can do. Look at what we're going to be able to do. Elon Musk has said for the longest time that he can remember, one of his end goals is to completely do away with cash and make everything a digital currency. Why is that on that man's mind? Right. So let's say you've got another Elon Musk out there, and he said, since I was a boy, the only thing I ever thought about doing is creating super soldiers. You've got those men already there. They're probably already at DARPA. They're probably already at some of these proving grounds, and they're creating things that we don't know about yet. Take, for example, they're only now admitting that we have these crashed devices. Some say they're aliens, some say that they were here before man was here, right? There's all so many different speculations. We've known about that for the longest time. All right, history has told us the stories of the unidentified flying object in the sky and the visitors for the longest time. Be it alien, be it demonic, I don't really care when you talk about technology, because it's how do I then take that technology, make it come alive again, try to recreate said technology, and then use it. I honestly do think, while we're sitting here with these Senate hearings talking about the usage of, we've got, back created alien devices that are out there, flying machines. Could you imagine China and Russia in their little secret meetings going, if we invade America and they come out with UFOs, what do we got that can oppose it? Nothing.
What's your best guess on where UFOs come from? They exist. The origin is unclear. Okay. Doug is temporarily stepped away. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear this a lot. Okay. Are they alien? Are they fallen angels? Are they from another dimension? Do we really have this secret technology we've developed from knowledge that we're not sure where it came from? It doesn't belong to us. And this is the question I want to put to Doug as he pulls himself together here. He's under demonic attack. Doug, did you hear my question?
I am good. I think my water is making me choke on myself over here. I think when you look at a lot of the stories that have come up about, let's say, the Large Hadron Collider, the LHC, for years now, there's been rumor and speculation that they have opened up portals and they've talked to entities that are on the other side of that portal. The
Are you
Nazis,
talking like with CERN?
yeah, the Nazis did the same thing.
They
Instead of
did
using
exactly.
technology, they use sorcery and witchcraft, of which you can even chime into this with some of the things your father told you, that much of the advanced technology that they got didn't come from them. It came from something else. Well,
Demonic.
here's the thing with and I only can regurgitate what I've read and heard. The ability for these quantum computers to open up a different realm, to open up a doorway to an area where you can talk to beings that you should not be able to talk to, gain information you shouldn't be able to talk to. We'd call that necromancy, in some words. You don't know exactly what people in the dark are doing, and whatever it is that they are doing, it's not guided by the spirit of Jesus. You know that
Okay,
for a fact.
Doug, I do know what they're doing though. Let me interject this real quick. Vance Davis, guy I've known for 32 years, former NSA. He was attached to NATO. He's in the army. They were tasked with using Nazi, let's talk to demons kind of technology like Ouija boards and so forth to try to gather technological advances to imitate what the Nazis did. In the development of their super weapons and their technology, like with missiles. Vance and his crew said no. And they actually deserted. They became the Gulfbreach 7. Don't believe what you see on the internet, people. They fabricated that. They couldn't bring him on trial. They were afraid to kill him because they had too many dead man switches they set up. So H.W. Bush had to let them go after they were imprisoned. But they would not do this. And then cycle forward, you mentioned my father. He asked the Germans, "Where'd you get this theoretical physics stuff?" "From aliens." "Well, how do you know?" And they said, well, our leaders told us. My dad said, BS. He said, they got it demonically. That's what my dad concluded. So you're absolutely correct in what you're saying. If my father was here, if Vance was here with us on this interview right now, they'd both be saying exactly what you're saying. This is demonic.
Well, we know from the 20s, 30s, 40s, so then paperclip happens. Shortly after we gain about 3,500 to 4,000 Nazi scientists, America starts doing advancements in technology unlike anything that the world had ever seen.
That's true.
And then we get certain little dark projects out there, like MK Ultra, which was led by Nazi scientists. The Monarch Project, which you can almost not find, you can barely find anything on the internet about Monarch anymore. But yet you used to be able to. And if it wasn't for the fact that I have had discussions with friends of mine who were in the Air Force, not going to say anything else, who had knowledge and even experience with some of these types of projects. I mean, it's stuff that will keep you up at night when you learn what we're doing to our own people. Stalin with the geneticist program, after he got, what, 7,000 Nazi scientists, he wanted to create an ape man. That was going to be the next super soldier. So these programs have been in effect for the longest time. Along with that, you also have the Psy War that happened in the 50s that very few people talk about. And that's where you get a lot of the witchcraft stuff that happened in between China, Russia, and America, and the technological advancements in that. The CIA and the DIA, Operation Grill Flame, and others that were dabbling in how can we use people who have this extra capability, whether some people say it's demonically infused. Some people say that you can just naturally do that. I don't really care because let's just talk about the technology. When you combine the ability to use telekinesis, to use the ability to have foresight with someone who can also possibly make a tank inert, we're talking about the type of capability that every country eventually wants to have. They
What do
want
you
to
mean make a
have.
tank inert? You mean disable it?
Yes, yeah, I'm absolutely talking about that. The ability for if there's a platoon of tanks, which I believe is like two tanks, let's say you deploy a platoon of tanks onto the battlefield, and then you drop two or three helicopters worth of a platoon of men who, within just two or three men, can overwhelm a tank. Well, you've just changed the battlefield. That's the end all goal. It's easier to produce the men and inject them and let the smart computer tell you what's the next step process of making them even better and running the data and the analysis on them all the time. It's easier, it's cheaper, and we can make a lot more people than we can an M1 Abrams. So it comes down to efficiency in war. Our economy could handle it. Our economy right now could not handle us trying to rebuild the American military of old. There's no way we could ever process military weaponry or deploy the manpower like we did in World War II. Things are more expensive. There's more red tape. So it's going to take a quagmire of things to get this really done. It's going to take the right threat. It's going to take the right or wrong individuals in power who will just pencil whip any type of, executive order, and they'll look away from many policies that are now being violated either through Geneva Conventions or the United Nations or what. And they'll say, listen, for us to gain battlefield superiority and for us to protect our nation, these are the steps we have to do. This is how far we need to be willing to go, because we know our adversaries are willing to go that far. If we're not willing to go that far, we're already so far behind the eight ball that our only ace in the hole is the ICBM. And right now, we can't afford that because if everyone has super soldiers and you launch ICBMs and they launch ICBMs, well, then we all die. And I do not believe that these people want to just turn the world into a cinder along with themselves. I mean, these people that are in these palaces, they want to stay there, right? So what's the next step? The next evolution of the battlefield has to be with the advancements in technology for the fighting man and advancing that fighting man. And it would be eventually beyond just steroid use, because steroid use will get offense, it will get expensive very quickly. The amount of doctors you'll have are going to completely change the spending process for the Pentagon. And not only that, you have to then say, well, we're going to have to literally take an entire base and lock it down to put our super soldiers on. Because if we let them off base, every single one of these guys is equivalent to a whole squad of men. We can't let them loose amongst the people. So you'll almost, in a way, you'd almost have indentured servants, and you will be the full property of the US military. Your rights will literally go away. And where can we already start that process with people with very little rights? Dude, you can start that with inmates right now. I mean, we've gone over in one of our last shows the amount of military experiments that the federal government has already done on inmates and on the mentally insane.
Well, they could
And
do it on all of us. There used to be a law, and now they're hiding it in a different place under the NDAA. But the law used to be USC 50-32. And what it said was you could do experimentation on anybody. All you had to do was notify a local official. So it could be a dog catcher they're notifying, a meter maid they could be notifying. And they
in
could do
some,
anything to you. Now, they took that same thing because this was raising hell in the 90s. Art Bell did shows on this. And so what they did is they took it out of the US code and they put it under the NDAA and classified it.
in some of these instances that we're talking about, the military notified themselves.
Why am I not surprised? I would imagine MK Ultra, the later program in MK Ultra probably fit into that, I would guess.
Yeah, I mean, ask yourself this. How is it that the cartel, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and all these other countries are getting US military grade equipment and using it against us and other populaces? Well, somewhere down the line, it was given to them, or it was sold to them, or they smuggled it, right? Hence, it was given to them.
You don't have to guess. Biden left behind $85 billion worth of equipment, high grade.
Imagine we move into a nation in Africa where we have one of these artificial, intelligent compounds where they're creating this new compound drug that's used for the super soldier program. And because of whatever reason, we now have to flee that area. We can't take it with us. Well, if we don't destroy everything, well, then someone got access to it. It wasn't but a year or two ago where I think it was in Libya, where you had a cell of terrorists who got a hold of biological weaponry at the same time that we're talking about biological weapons. I mean, the whole event 202, 201, with Bill Nye the Science Guy out there. It would not be a far stretch to say eventually this is going to come into a super soldier program. Someone's eventually going to get it. Someone's going to hack a system. Someone's going to walk out of a facility with a memory stick filled full of all this information and give it to our enemies. It happens every single time. So you have to have contingencies for that. And I don't exactly know what the contingency is for it. But if we get it, you better expect someone else is going to get it. So we would want to make sure ours are the best.
You put me deep into thought there because I'll tell you where this is going. I'll go back to the movie Captain America: Brave New World, the latest release. They hit two areas, Doug, and you're touching on this right now. One was the super soldier model, but the other, which was equally important, was mind control. And that's really where you're alluding to, because this is where this ends up.
This ends up in a book that Russ Dizdar wrote many years ago called The Black Awakening,
Oh, yeah.
where eventually you have this unique blend of advanced military grade hardware, advanced military grade mind control capabilities, and then you have targeted individuals who are fractured. They have multiple personalities. They've got whatever it is that they're looking for, and you take that one person who's already got the fractured mentality. You and I'm only parroting what Russ says, but you fracture that person enough, you enhance them with demonic technology or even with demonic spirits, and then include the technology, and then you change that mindset. So when they hear a tone or they see a different color or a flicker on the TV, they activate. I mean, that's been talked about for a very long time
And
already.
that could be triggering school shooters or a whole number of things. Yeah, you're
The
so on the money with
Manchurian Candidate. When was that
talking
idea
about.
thought of? Back in the
That was
60s?
in the 60s with Frank Sinatra in a
Yeah.
movie. Yeah. Yep. The Manchurian Candidate, and he was one of the stars. And we know too from it's really interesting. I used to use this videotape in my intro to psych class to talk about sleep and sleep deprivation. And this guy, Louis Jolly West, was the narrator as the chief psychiatrist. You know, as I dug into his background, MK Ultra. He was
Jolly
making,
West.
he was, yeah, Jolly West, exactly right. Louis Jolly West.
He
And he
was the
was
guy who
making
wouldn't talk
MK
to.
Ultra videos for the Air Force and doing the work. I think it was at Fort Bragg or Fort Bliss. I forget which one now. But he was doing the work there. And they program Manchurian candidates. And they got the idea from the torture and the sleep deprivation torture the North Koreans were doing of our POWs. And when our soldiers came back, they were implanted with ideas like communism is good, America is bad. And this is where they brought in Jolly West to do the work on how do we manipulate people's thinking. So that was really the genesis of it in the 50s. Yep, you're right. Doug, we're just about out of time. You know, you got the American Vindictive Show, the AmericanVindictiveShow.com. I got the CommonSenseShow.com. Sign up for the newsletter because I'll tell you, it's one-stop shopping for everything we do in a 24-hour period. How can people find you? You're on Rumble, YouTube.
Yeah, Rumble, YouTube. We also have a Patreon. And don't forget, The Intel Report is its own independent channel now on YouTube.
Indeed.
That's where you'll be finding all these updates. Please make sure you like, share, subscribe, that you pass these videos on to others. Leave your comments in there. Let's get a conversation going about some of these topics. We only learn more together as we approach this together. So,
Well, you made me think. You put me into about a 15-second, wow, where do I know this from? I mean, and that was in the mind control Manchurian candidate stuff. I know what that is, but I had never considered the angle that you brought up, and I thought that's pretty insightful. Ladies and gentlemen, you got some cutting edge stuff tonight, and Hollywood is replete with this. I recommend if you want to see what we're talking about, go see the movie Captain America. You know, don't take the morality out of it, the ethics and this and that, but look at the technology. It permeates the movie. Doug, I was sitting there and people told me I should go see it. So I'm sitting there and I'm watching this and I'm going, oh my goodness, this is cutting edge stuff they're revealing. It really is. Of course, then you wonder if they're putting it out in Hollywood, how far ahead is DARPA? Anyway, gotta go. Thanks so much, Doug. Always good stuff, really good stuff. And ladies and gentlemen, like Doug said, please share it, and we'll see you back here next time. God bless everybody.